Well, it's been a while since we've had this guest on.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you to the weekend edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Well, I've got a guest today, somebody that a regular listener to this program may remember from a while back, Dr. William Wong. He is a naturopath, but he also is observant to a lot of the things that go on in the world today. And I really enjoy these times that I can have Dr. William Wong on the program. We get to talk a little politics. We get to talk a little bit about health and just life in general. And I think you're going to enjoy today's program, and I really believe that you're going to learn a lot. Dr. Wong, I've been watching the news like you do, and we've just come through this incredible election here in the United States, and we're finding out now that Kamala Harris was never ahead. The stinking news media lied to all of us about polls that, you know, it's neck and neck. They knew that it was going to be a disaster from day one. And now we have the Biden administration, you know, ginning up World War III and pretty much trying to scorch earth everything before Donald Trump takes office. As you look at the world around you today, do you think that this disaster that they're leaving behind is a well-planned disaster? And if it is, what benefit does it give the, shall I say, the leftist lunatics?
Oh, gosh. In some ways, it seems to all be engineered. I say that because there are too many things that are happening that take people to a certain point, a certain point of jumping off the cliff, and then instantly, miraculously, things get pulled back. Like all the World War III talk right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, heck, the Russians have just proved that they can do surgical strikes.
Oh, yeah. And one of the things that amazes me, you'd think, you know, because we were always taught growing up, you and I, we're America. We're the home of the free and the brave, and we have the best weapons and the best everything. And you know, that second-rate military over there in Rusky Land, you know, they ain't got nothing on us. They're just copycats. And now we find out, oh, they got hypersonic missiles that can travel 12 times the speed of sound. And we have nothing. We have nothing to touch it.
We can thank all the officers promoted under Obama and Bush Jr. All the officers. Let me backtrack a bit. Every Congress critter gets to nominate two people to the service academies,
mm-hmm.
and from the blue states, consistently for 30 years, those congressmen have been vetting their appointments by who is the most leftist, who is the most pro-socialist, who is just outright communist,
and who's gay and trans, you know. And if they're gay and trans, that's even, you know, then you're really in.
Yes. So we filled the military officer ranks with those guys. It's now gotten to the point where a lot of them have stars on their shoulders.
Yep.
And they're screwing things up amazingly, but they're doing it on purpose to weaken us and make us vulnerable to just plain falling apart.
I got a kick a while back. This is like maybe 5 months ago, 6 months ago. As we talk about the ongoing conflict in Ukraine and how Ukraine can be victorious over big bad Russia. And Lindsey Graham-nisty, as you remember, you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
He said, you know what we ought to do, folks? We ought to just take give Ukraine all of our old NATO weapons, and then we can buy new ones. That was his solution.
Well, he's feeding the military-industrial complex.
Exactly.
He's feeding the folks that Eisenhower warned us about.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I played that the other day, and that entire section of that speech of Eisenhower, yeah. Beware the military-industrial complex. And everything he predicted is exactly what transpired. I'll take it one step farther. And I've come to conclude the CIA hated John F. Kennedy.
Absolutely.
And I really believe that they did him in.
Yep.
Because he wanted to get the CIA and the military advisors out of Vietnam. It's like, yep, we don't need to be there. And as soon as he's dead and gone, what's the first thing Johnson did? Commit 250,000 troops to Vietnam.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, the body's not even cold. And we haven't even finished, you know, with mourning officially. And all of a sudden, we're getting involved in Vietnam.
JFK was 2 weeks away from pulling the troops out.
That's right. He was on the verge of, you know, by the end of the year, he wanted to draw it down.
Yeah.
And so we're talking December, November the 23rd, he's assassinated. By, instead of the end of that year, December of 1963, getting out of Vietnam, we accelerated Vietnam.
Yeah.
And then comes 64, 5, 6, 7, and 8. What a mess. And I can remember 1975 like it was yesterday. And I had actually joined the Air Force. And I got kicked out. Why? They knew we were coming out, and I didn't. And so my guaranteed job was going to be worthless. They didn't need me. No. So they gave me a lot of money and an honorable discharge and 6 years in the inactive reserves. And so now I can join the American Legion.
Good.
Which I did. But, you know, ironically, you know, I mean, I've got my 6 weeks of service to Uncle Sam. I made it through basic. That's it. But then I watched in April. Out of nowhere, Saigon fell. I mean, it's like, what happened? The last helicopter leaving the embassy.
Yeah.
We're leaving? The war's over? And I think a lot of Americans were in total shock.
We were losing 400 kids on average a week.
Yep.
To that war. And just leaving it flat and bailing out.
Kind of sounds like Afghanistan.
Forever wasted.
Another Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
I mean, when you think about it, when's the last time the United States won a war? 1945.
Exactly, yes.
We've never won anything since 1945.
We haven't been allowed to win any of the wars against communism because half the State Department's damn communist.
Well, on top of that, then the military, if you ever beat them, then we don't need the military-industrial complex.
Yes, that's true.
I mean, this is what Eisenhower was saying. You know, if we keep ginning up wars and more conflicts, we're just going to be taking taxpayer money to feed the beast.
Yeah.
And they don't care about how many people die. I mean, look, my opinion of Ukraine, you and I may agree, we may disagree. But that's a war that never should have happened.
Exactly.
Ukraine should never have been even invited anywhere near NATO. People keep forgetting Ukraine was never a nation until 1992. It had always been somebody else's sovereign territory. The Russians. I mean, where do you think Khrushchev came from? Russia? No. Ukraine.
Yep.
He ran Kiev, as we used to call it. Kiev or Kiev. That's where he's from. And people don't understand that relationship that Ukraine, those who live in the center of the country, sided with Adolf Hitler during the Second World War to become a nation for the first time. They were hoping Hitler would grant that to them. And then we funded the Nazis in Ukraine all through the 1940s, 50s, and up until the Soviet Union fell.
Yep.
And then we wonder why there's a little animosity there. and we wonder why Russia doesn't want to have weapons on their border that are owned by NATO in Ukraine. That's kind of like that'd be like North Korea putting weapons on the Canadian border to New York.
Exactly, you know, yes.
People,
it was Bush Sr. who promised Gorbachev that NATO wouldn't gain another inch of territory. So then we took in Hungary, Bulgaria, Romania,
mm-hmm,
Poland, and
one of the Scandinavian nations as well up there against Russia.
Yeah.
We got to keep the customer satisfied, which is, in this case, the military-industrial complex.
Yep.
And I think, you know, do I want American young men being shipped to Eastern Europe to go into that meat grinder? Of course not.
Are you familiar with the Caligari plan?
No, I am not.
Okay, the Caligari Plan was devised somewhere in the 1920s by a Hungarian fellow named Caligari, and it was meant to take the strongest, best, and smartest DNA in Europe and in North America and to winnow them down, to get rid of them via huge wars, and then replace them with a lower IQ population that would then blend into the remainder of the European population and lower the IQ generally so that they would accept a totalitarian government.
You know, sounds like Philadelphia.
Yeah. And if you take a look at the Germany post 1945, they lost so many men they had to import Turkish guys to work their factories, or their economy would have collapsed. The British had to import folks from the Bahamas, Jamaica, and all the British Caribbean because they had lost so many folks that they couldn't keep their industry going. So, you know, the only remaining country that still got a fairly strong DNA is the U.S. because we're all mutts, and we, you know, mutts are always smarter than purebreds.
Mm-hmm.
So the part of the reason why we're constantly being involved in wars and why we're being invaded by sub 90 IQ people is because of the Caligari Plan.
Now, that's fascinating. I mean, I'm here thinking about that and realizing how true it is.
You know, France after World War One, France was a broken reed. I mean, France withheld, kept the Germans from reaching Paris for 4 years at World War One. In World War Two, they folded in 41 days. They didn't have any guys left. They didn't have a strong enough DNA. They didn't have a patriotic, staunch, you know, brave enough folks because they'd lost so many men.
And they didn't want war.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. Who in their right mind wants a war if it can be avoided?
Nobody wants a war, especially after World War One.
Right.
Our doughboys came back from World War One knowing, and I heard this from doughboys back when I was younger, and they were still alive, that they got snookered. The U.S. got snookered.
Oh, I heard that. I heard that as well.
Yeah.
From many of my grandparents' generation.
Right. Yes.
That were born like in 1899 or 1898 or 1902. You know, they'd be of age
to fight World War One.
Yep. And while we didn't have that, while we didn't have anywhere near the numbers of Americans serving in that war as compared to World War II,
yeah,
enough went, enough suffered, enough came back, enough knew better.
Yeah, exactly.
And then our government lied to them about their pensions and being cared for,
yes,
coming home. And that's why you had Hooverville and a bunch of other stuff that happened, because the government lied about taking care of those that were disabled or ruined in that war.
It's still lying.
Oh, yeah. They're really good at that.
And, you know, there is nothing worse than a Veterans Administration hospital. You know, you might go back 100 years to find a hospital where the doctors are as bad, where they don't need to be licensed, to where they can have... They could be rejects from their own medical societies and stuff, and the VA will just take them in. Matter of fact, the VA rehired a bunch of guys that they had fired for being incompetent. That's how desperate they are for docs and therapists.
Unbelievable. And like I say, I look at this, we look at Ukraine, and what kind of madmen, and that's what they are, want to keep pushing this here in the United States. Who would say it's a good idea? Let's have the grade, you know, the second rate comedian launch some, you know, missiles into Russia, long range. You know, let's tempt them. Let's poke the bear a little bit more. You know, what kind of moron would give them the green light to that?
and then one who thinks that he can survive what's coming simply because the elite can go down into the deep underground and military bases, the dumbs, and sit out a nuke war. And then they can come up and take over the surface and blah, 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 blah. That's the way these guys think.
Oh, I know. And I look at this and I'm thinking, okay, in 2012, the people in Ukraine voted in a government that they were happy with.
Right.
And they made peace with Russia. They got along. They were going to, you know, live in both spheres. They were going to deal with the Russians and everybody else, and they were going to be a happy, neutral country. And Vicky Nuland thought that was a bad idea.
Yep.
And convinced Obama it's a terrible idea. The CIA agreed. And so what did we do? We overthrew a legitimate government that had been voted in by the people of Ukraine.
Yep, and using Nazis to overthrow the government.
And then we installed a puppet government, and when that puppet didn't work as good as we wanted, we put in a comedian that is famous for playing the piano with his penis. That's what we put in there. This is the clown that they have as this. Yep. He's a comedian. He's an actor. He has no knowledge of politics, military, the world, anything. He's just
the people who tried to give us a president whose only job resume was that she was very good at oral sex with a whole bunch of older guys who put her in positions of power.
Mm-hmm. And that's what it. And so now you got Zelensky, Vladimir, who's now a dictator because they canceled their elections in Ukraine. Yep. And the thing is, for a whole year, Putin kept telling the world, do not put your missiles on that border. Do not let Ukraine into NATO. Abide by the agreements we all signed in 1992. Just live by the agreements. We'll be happy. You can keep your corrupt little Ukraine. You can launder all the money you want. We could care less. Just keep your missiles off our border. And that is the extent. Well, didn't he want to annex this? Well, to a degree, yeah. Where the Nazis of Ukraine were killing ethnic Russians in the east. Yeah. I think if I was seeing my kinfolk being killed by somebody, I'd be a little bit ticked off, too. And I'd like to...
30 biolabs.
Yeah. Oh, we got 23 to 30 biolabs. Somewhere in that range.
Yeah.
That's probably where some of the... Where COVID came from.
Yes.
And so we have biolabs to protect, a money laundering operation to protect, you know, the gas companies pay off the Biden family millions of dollars, which is really their government money. I think one of the greatest scams that I ever figured out was we sent a lot of money, and I followed this one. Do you remember that guy, Bankman, or, you know, what is the kid, the cryptocurrency kid that ended up going to jail?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. There's a wonderful backstory that is definitely true, that we sent all these, you know, billions of dollars to Ukraine. The Ukrainian government, in their wisdom, took some of that money and invested it with, you know, Sam Bankman, you know, whatever his name is, you know, into cryptocurrency, to hold on to it, of course. And then Sam Bankman gave millions of dollars to Democrats here in the United States in 2022.
Gee whiz, what a coincidence.
I mean, we send money to Zelensky. Zelensky then gives money to Sam Bankman, Brinkman, whatever, the crypto kid who's there in the Bahamas with the weird girlfriend. And he's got a bunch of teenagers running around, you know, making billions of dollars. And then they're smart, taking money off the top to pay off the United States government through political donations. Until they got found out, and then they all had to go to jail.
Yep.
I mean, if nobody had ever blown the whistle, they'd still be out there selling their crypto.
Yep.
Money laundering.
The Democrats who told us that they couldn't find $5 billion to build Trump's wall back in the, 2017 or so.
Right.
They just sent, as of last Friday, the total was $61 billion to Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of that's coming back to the politicians who vote for it as kickbacks.
Oh, yeah, and most of that money is being spent with General Dynamics and Raytheon and all the others, you know, Lockheed Martin, Boeing. In other words, all the military industrial complex, most of that money gets spent to build second-rate weapons to be sent to Ukraine that they can't use, or they ruin, or they sell on the black market. And some of it gets to Ukraine. Some of it gets into Zelensky's offshore accounts. I mean, you can count on that.
Yep.
That, you know, it's not going to the front. The only thing going to the front are young men that are dying.
Yes.
On both sides. In a war that would have never happened had they never wanted to put those weapons on the border and kept talking trash.
Right.
And they were warned for 1 year. And when did that warning start? Right after Joe Biden took office. And Ukraine thought that they, and NATO thought, ooh, we got a chance now to expand. And the word was, don't do it. For a full year. And then for the last 30 days, a really loud, don't do it. Don't cross the line. And what did Biden do? He did it. Kept saying, they kept pushing. And where are we at now?
There were two prophecies, and I'm going to get religious here for a second.
That's fine.
There are two prophecies that work really well into this. One is Dimitri Dudeman's. He was a pastor from Romania who had the famous prophecy, in one night America will burn. And he said that in one night, mm-hmm. the Russians destroy, I think it was New York, Chicago, San Francisco, Las Vegas, and Miami. Then there was Reverend Wilkerson of the Crossing the Switchblade fame.
Oh, yeah, Wilkinson. Yep.
Almost the same thing 10 years earlier. So let's think about the places that these two pastors saw being targeted. Are they blue or are they red? are they the centers of power for the blue people?
Yep.
Are they the centers of power for the people who want to communize the United States? Are they the centers of power and influence for all the wackos that are coming into government? Yes, especially Chicago. Chicago was a seat of American communism.
So, and then you got New York, San Francisco,
yes.
And now rising in their star rising is Atlanta. I mean, they're becoming as weird as any.
Yeah, the same reasons everybody else is becoming weird. You know, I was worried about all the Californians moving here into Texas.
I bet you were
worried that they would bring their politics with them. But as of the last election, Texas has gotten redder. So I guess it's all the conservatives in California moved here.
Well, look what happened in Florida. You know, 2 years ago, the Wicked Witch of Western New York, Kathy Hochul, mm-hmm. you know, and she's talking about, you know, Zeldin. Yeah, get out of here. Move to Florida. We don't need you MAGA Republicans. Yeah, yeah, you just move. Oh, just get up and move. Well, they did. And so they lost a congressional seat or two. And all the conservatives bailed out of upstate New York, like where I used to live in Little Wayne County.
Yeah.
They all moved down to like near Punta Gorda, Florida. And some of the conservatives in New Jersey ended up in little towns like Vero Beach. Or mm-hmm. or even down in Martin County in Stewart, or Melbourne, and I can think of where they all ended up. Well, there's been an influx of about hundreds of thousands of these conservatives from the Northeast that said, fine, we're tired of your taxes, we're tired of the expense, we're tired of the nonsense, we're tired of being treated like garbage, pardon the pun there, from the election. And so they picked up, sold out, took their money, bought into Florida, and made Florida, you know, more red than it's ever been in its history.
Yep. Thank God.
You're seeing it in South Carolina. It's growing the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Even
get rid of that limp wrist they've got for a senator, Graham.
Oh, I know. But, you know,
it's a shame that he took over Strom Thurmond's seat. I lived in South Carolina for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
And, Strom, even into his 80s and 90s, was a ladies' man.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
His wife was 30, 40 years younger than he was.
And, you know,
the guy who takes over his seat likes boys?
Yeah, something wrong with him. So, I know that Laura Ingraham never talks about him much anymore, but because I think they dated once many decades ago. But that didn't work out. I guess she figured that one out quick. So, you know, I mean, but you're right. And, you know, he's from a little town called Central South Carolina, not far from Clemson. That's where Lindsey's from. Uh-huh. Ended up being a congressman from that area, which included at that time Pickens County, part of Greenville County, and Oconee County. And then ended up running for senator, and he's been entrenched there ever since. And every 6 years, he pulls the wool over everyone's eyes.
Yeah.
And I'm a conservative just like y'all. Let's have some pinto beans, cornbread, and an onion here, you know, and some buttermilk.
One of the things that folks don't realize about the South, especially North Carolina and Georgia, is how gay South Carolina and Georgia are. I mean, the 40% of the football players are gay in the colleges. You go into, drive anywhere in Atlanta or even a little town, 49,000 people like Spartanburg. There's at least two gay clubs there on main drags. Most of the gays are married to women who give them cover, but they vote as a block, and those are the guys helping to put Graham in.
Yeah, flimsy Grahamnesty. I mean, you know, and I've got friends in South Carolina that I've had for decades now, because I have family roots that go back to late 1600s in the upstate.
Yeah.
So I got a little room to talk, you know what I mean? I mean, I've been around that area. So I've actually seen one of the family cemeteries hidden in the middle of nowhere with all the grave markers in the early 1700s.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're still there.
My wife had a few relatives in those in those cemeteries.
Mm-hmm. So, you're right. Atlanta has always been, I'm going to go back. I'm thinking when I used to work in Atlanta, and I'm talking back in the late 70s and 1980s, I was the chief engineer of one of the biggest radio stations in town. Our transmitter was literally in the middle of downtown Atlanta on the tallest tower that used to be the tower for Channel 17, WTBS, you know, the Turner Broadcasting System. Right. And we shared their tower, big 1,100-foot tall tower. Back in those days, that area of West Peachtree and Peachtree Street were the kind of a place you did not want to go to after dark unless you were armed. And so we were. I mean, that's how you had to live. Mm. And I used to have these spaced out gay people banging on the door of the transmitter building at 2 o'clock in the morning looking for sex.
Gee whiz.
And they were all high on God only knows what, coming out of the bathhouses on West Peachtree. So don't tell me how charming and decent the South is. That and you go down to the nearest Steak and Egg is full of nothing but hookers and gay people.
Yeah,
looking for a score. I was so glad to get out of that out of that city. I told my wife one day I can't do this anymore. So we went to we just left and moved out. I couldn't deal with it. And this is 1980. Do you think it's gotten better?
It's just better
hidden. Instead of in dilapidated buildings, you know, they can now parade proudly in the finest hotels.
Yeah.
Instead of the old unmarked bathhouses. That's what's changed. We've mainstreamed their lifestyle.
You know, gays being as creative as they usually are, they're usually fairly well off. They you know, interior decoration and whatever else, music, and they those are the guys who have elevated the gays from street corners and abandoned warehouses to nice fancy flats somewhere.
Hey, listen, we really need to take a quick break, and we'll come back on the other side with more of our conversation. My guest today, Dr. William Wong, good friend, naturopath, and shall we say an observer of all things political and otherwise. If you believe in our ministry, would you consider visiting our website, maybe supporting us using Give, Send, Go? The website is truth2ponder.com, truth2ponder.com. Or you can make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, 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 Virginia, 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, and the zip code 24319. That's 24319.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
The secret of the Dodi Li. Coming up, Shalom Alechem. This is Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the Jewish riches of your faith in Jesus. Now get your fan out as quick as you can, or a pencil, so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you're going to get and love in a moment. As a believer, you know that you're to live your life for God. Give him your time, your treasures, your best. Commit your life to be his, live as his. But where do you get the strength to do that? Well, here's a secret. In the Song of Solomon, it says, Dodi li va'ani lo. Dodi li, my beloved is mine. Dodi li va'ani lo, and I am his. Goes together. My beloved is mine, and I am his. The last part is what we have to do. I am his. That's our challenge. That's what our whole walk is about. How to be his, to be totally his. But the secret is Dodi Li comes first at the beginning. It's Dodi Li Va'ani Lo. You can't have one without the other. If you want to really be his, my beloved is mine and I am his, but he's mine. That's why I am his. See, everything you're called to do in God is I am his. But that can only happen knowing that Dodi Li, he is mine. Our work is impossible without his work. You can't put the cart before the horse. You can't produce love without his love. You can't produce anything without his. So if you want to be all out for God, then learn, receive what it means, believe, and know that how much God is all for you and that he is yours, what he has given for you, his love for you. From that will come your love for him. And then you will be totally committed. Dodi li, my beloved is mine. Va'ani lo, and I am his. That's the flow of life and miracles. Rejoice in it. And you, my friend, will be completely his, knowing that he is completely yours. Want more? Ask for Ani Lo on CD. Spell it however you like. Now, how'd you like to receive something so awesome? It's been hidden for 2,000 years and never been revealed anywhere else in the world. Well, you can. It's our gift to you, the Mystery of the Temple Doors. You're going to love it. And sapphires guaranteed to help you become strong in the Lord. Well, how do you get these free gifts? Easy. Just remember Jesus, real Hebrew name Yeshua, and you dial it. That's it. So to receive your free gifts, just call now, 1-800-YESHUA-1. You will be blessed, but call now. It's 1-800-YESHUA, YESHUA-1, the number one. Now I invite you to join me in blanketing the earth. It's the end time harvest. Let's get the word out. Shortwave radio is the farthest way you can ever spread the gospel. You can be part. You can do it. Just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's Yeshua, YESHUA-1. Or write me direct. Here's our direct address. The Nice Jewish Boy, Box 1111, Lodi, New Jersey, 07644. It's Box 1111, Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. Till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying, Shalom Aleichem. Peace be to you, my friend, in Messiah, Dodi, your beloved.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you to part two of today's episode of Truth to Ponder. I'm your host, Bob Bierman. My guest today is one of my favorites, and it just dawned on me earlier today that it had been almost a year since I've had Dr. Wong on the program. And I forgot just how much I enjoyed having him as a guest, and how many of you have mentioned, and I'm going to tell you this, that a number of you over the past year have said, whatever happened to Dr. Wong? When is he coming back on? And I kept saying, well, yeah, soon. I'll get around to it. And I'm trying to remember what triggered me, but something in an email chain that Dr. Wong had sent out made me think, you know, now's a good time to call. Now's a good time to have you back on again. And I want to cover a lot in this second segment. But for the fun of it, we've talked enough politics. We've talked enough Ukraine. I will say that the way the politics ended up in November on the 5th was not really a shock to me, but it was a shock for the propaganda artists that believe their own propaganda. Now, how things will actually shape out starting in January, only God knows for sure. But I'm certainly happy that it's not the mess we could have easily had. Now, Dr. Wong, as I bring you back on, I would like to remember some good old days. You know, you and I are close enough to, you know, in the same age.
Yeah.
We were raised in the same part of the world watching the same TV channels as kids.
Yep.
And I can remember, you know, we had channel 2, 4, 5, 7, 11, and 13. You know, I still remember the positions, you know, after all these years. And back in the good old days of black and white TV, there were some great commercials. And somebody posted this one, and I'm thinking, I love this commercial for one reason. Number one, it is so politically incorrect today. I mean, I shared it with you earlier.
Yeah.
It is so politically incorrect. And the product that they're advertising, you know, it only cost a nickel, but, you know, but that and about, what, 4 cups of sugar in 2 quarts of water. And they call that, you know, a refreshing beverage. Here's a classic Kool-Aid commercial from way back when.
Here's a tale about the world's greatest Indian fighter. Young Colonel Joe led a cavalry charge against an Indian band that proved too large. Joe's troops ran off in full retreat, but our Joe saved them from defeat. You know how? He made Kool-Aid. Kool-Aid, Kool-Aid, can't wait. Only Kool-Aid tastes so great. Kool-Aid, the little envelope that holds the great big drink.
Makes you a pitcher full, quick as a wink.
Pick your flavor from 9 different sorts. 5 cent Kool-Aid makes 2 quarts. Well, sir, soon Colonel Joe's only Indian war was to see who'd be first in line for more. You know what?
Kool-Aid, Kool-Aid, tastes great.
You love Kool-Aid, don't wait.
America's favorite drink in an envelope, Kool-Aid.
Well, obviously, I don't think any TV station in their right mind would play something as politically incorrect as that commercial was, and it was probably funny in its day, and I'm sure that I saw it. I mean, I would have had to at that age.
Yeah.
I would have been, I don't know if you remember it or not, but I remember commercials just like it, and Kool-Aid, Kool-Aid tastes great. Wish I had some, can't wait. You know, yeah. I guess, you know, I'm sure that it was the American Dental Society that was promoting it to get all these customers for cavity fillings. Back in the, I mean, you know, it, just grab that little packet of artificial flavors and colors for 2 quarts of water, and add a couple, about 5 pounds of sugar, and stir it up, and serve it to your kids, and watch them bounce off the walls. I mean, you know, I can remember my grandmother in the summertime occasionally making it, but she, you know, I'm trying to remember, she said, you'd be better off drinking Coca-Cola than this stuff with the amount of sugar in it. You know, I mean, she was probably right, you know, but then again, that was the time in which we lived. You were mentioning that there was a competition to Kool-Aid that was out there at one time. I'll have to look for their commercial.
Yeah, Funny Face.
I just don't remember that.
An Indian orange and a Chinese cherry.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I can see. Yeah, that wouldn't fly in today's, you know.
Nope. That'd be major loss.
Indian orange and Chinese. Okay. And I'm sure they, you know, German grape. You know, who knows? I'll have to look up that one and see if any of their commercials are still out there.
They had a Mexican one too, but I don't remember what flavor that was.
Yeah, who knows? But you know, it's funny how this political correctness started a little before my time, but nobody really paid it much attention. And you know, you and I, we were not raised in a politically correct atmosphere.
No.
Because in my case, my father was a Marine from World War II. Do you think that he was politically correct? and my neighbors, you know, he still had all the stuff that he took off German uniforms, you know, when he was working his way toward Berlin.
Yeah.
So, you know, these were not politically correct people. Right. And raising a pile of kids in Long Island, you know, my neighbors, they were a good Catholic Italian family. So they're like 19 kids, you know, and the cousins living next door to them, they even built a sidewalk between the two homes because they had worn a big spot in the lawn.
I remember stuff like that with Italian families.
Yeah.
In Brooklyn.
And so this is what I was raised with as a kid. And so political correctness, even in upstate New York, when we ended up there when I was in high school, we didn't think in those terms.
No.
I mean, what was the most popular TV show like in 68? Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In.
They insulted everybody.
Exactly. And even Bob Hope could say things that he probably could never be allowed to say today.
Yeah.
Or think of who would be a popular guest on one of my father's favorite programs, Dean Martin. You have Don Rickles on there. I mean, and like I say, people that are too sensitized never saw the movie Blazing Saddles. And I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, we went from one extreme to the other rapidly. And now everybody's worrying about everybody's feelings and getting hurt and saying the wrong thing that's politically incorrect or politically incorrect. You know, this is nonsense.
Isn't it hilarious how the left went from being able to, from saying that you should be able to do and say anything you want to now you can't do or say anything at all?
Oh, yeah. Or they went from my body, my choice, except for the vaccine.
Yeah, exactly.
Then you have no choice. We own you then. Or you lose your job, you lose your status, you lose everything if you don't obey these mandates. How did we get so politically incorrect?
It started in the colleges. I noticed it in the differences in my physical anthropology classes. We weren't allowed to use the word primitive. We weren't allowed to use the term backwards. We weren't, you know, if a society was still in the frickin' Stone Age, we weren't allowed to call them cavemen. That's just how their society is, and it's okay, and it's all right that they haven't advanced in 6,000 years, you know.
And never will.
and never will, because they don't have the IQ. But you couldn't say that either, all of a sudden. You know, when you take a look at a good many of the countries that we are super politically correct about, take a look at their average national IQ. It's mostly in the 70s. That's 10 points above, just 10 points above mental retardation.
I know.
And their whole country's like that. And their leaders are like that. And no wonder the world is as screwed up as it is.
And what really should be amazing, and I'm trying to choose my words carefully so nobody makes an assumption that would be incorrect. We have many of these impoverished nations around the globe. Mm-hmm. And we have invested billions, if not trillions, of dollars over the decades in these nations. And what do we get? We get Haiti.
Yes.
How much money have we poured into Haiti over the past 50 years?
Even before that, because the Marines were famous back in the early 1900s for having tried to civilize Haiti. They didn't succeed, but they fought a good many battles, and some guys won medals of honor there. So, you know, yeah, Haiti's a lost cause. Haiti belongs to Haiti actually needs to sink into the damn Caribbean.
Well,
because there's no saving Haiti.
No, I mean, and one of the things that a lot of people don't understand about Haiti. I know a man that occasionally listens to this program, and he and his ministry invested, 25 years and a lot of money into building a network of Christian radio stations, AM and FM, across that country.
Yeah.
And they would go down there every year to maintain them, to repair them, to upgrade them as necessary, to train local people to run them. And it was always a struggle. It was always a struggle. Now, the best way to put it is, thankfully, their mission work reached a number of people. Yeah. But it did not reach the vast majority. The vast majority still rejected the message that station was pushing, the gospel of Jesus Christ. They hated it.
Yep.
And then I learned something from this guy. He said the biggest problem that Haiti will have that will destroy it is that decades and decades ago, hundreds of years ago, when there was civil war among those in Haiti, they literally gave up the island to Satan himself to get a victory. And so they have bought a curse upon that island, and that curse has never left.
During their revolution, there was a Racine movement, a Roots movement. Roots, remember that one?
Oh, yeah. There
was a Roots movement in the during the revolution. I think it was about 1815. And the Roots movement sought to get rid of anything that had a European influence. So it got rid of the mestizos. It got rid of the light-skinned black folks. It got rid of anyone who wasn't just jet black and who wasn't still tribal. Now, in doing that, they got rid of their artisans, their judges, their lawyers, their doctors. The lucky ones fled into the Dominican Republic and saved their lives. The other ones got slaughtered by machetes during the revolution. And Haiti has never recovered from the loss of IQ. I have met one physician from Haiti. One. And he was very, very, very good. He was also a light-skinned black man. So, you know, the Haiti has cursed itself, given also its voodoo roots.
Yes.
I mean, who are they worshiping?
They're worshiping Satan.
Yes.
And it's obvious when you go to other parts of the world where voodoo is still practiced.
Yep.
They're you still find travel. The same stuff?
Yes, exactly.
You know, I say this on the radio program a lot, that all we have today is recycled paganism. If you look at the entire climate change agenda, that's Gaia worship. Worship the planet.
Yes.
If you believe in abortion, you're worshiping Moloch, infant sacrifice. Ishtar will change a man into a woman and a woman into a man.
Just like atrazine will.
So, we are, it's like there's nothing new under the sun. This stuff just keeps coming around and coming around.
Gaia was Baal's wife. How good could she be if she was the wife of someone who's basically another word for Satan?
Mm-hmm. And here we are, and we wonder why our world is still in trouble and why our world needs to be redeemed.
Yeah.
And redemption is so elusive to so many because they don't want it. And that's what scares me. And with all the technology and everything that we have blessed ourselves with, we still keep the curse upon us.
Well, someone asked, why does God allow evil? If he didn't allow evil, we wouldn't have free choice. And this is the planet of free choice. You know, even the angels got to choose which side they were on.
Yes.
So he's given us the same choices that the angels had. And that's how he figures out who belongs to him and who doesn't.
While we have a little time before the program runs out, one of the things that I like having you on the program for is not just the fact we get to banter about politics and the weird stuff that's out there. And it's a weird world, weird election. I think 2025 is going to be, if you thought 2024 was something, fasten your seatbelts. Next year is it's going to be over the top. It may be Jesus hurry and come before we get too deep into next year, the way things are going. I don't think that the left is going to back down easily and quietly. I think they're right now regrouping and trying to figure out what kind of coup they can pull. Time will tell.
They're pushing to make World War III happen, to keep Trump from assuming office, will be their destruction. The American people will see that the Trump derangement syndrome folks are so insane that they are willing to burn the entire dang planet down.
Well, and here's the problem with that, though. You know, there. Well, look, I understand that the left is basically Second Thessalonians rated delusional. I mean, that's what they are. They believe their own lie to the point where they, under their own damnation, and they can't see the truth. I really believe that Putin sees through all of this crap.
Yep.
And he's sitting there going, okay, I can wait it out between now and January, fire a few more missiles, and I'll just blow up stuff in Ukraine that you can't stop. And, and what I'll do first, and I know these missiles I'm firing are expensive, and like one guy wrote, he said, all he's got to do is use an expensive missile and take out our countermeasure systems in Ukraine, and then they can use the cheap ones to finish the job. In other words, we take out the Iron Dome and all of that, you know, Patriot missile banks and all that. He can do that, and we can't stop it. Then he can fire the cheap stuff.
Yep.
And I think that's the game of attrition he's going to play, because I don't think, maybe I'm trying to figure who in NATO is as stupid as Biden and Vicky Nuland, who may have retired, but she's still pulling strings with
the Vice Admiral of NATO, who's a Swedish or a Finn, just said yesterday that NATO was considering preemptive strikes on Russia. I'm sorry, you're going to prevent a war by what? Preemptive nuclear strikes on Russia? How is that going to... No, the Russians have almost twice the number of nukes we have.
They have twice the number of nukes that everybody else in the world has combined.
Yeah.
That's us, France, everybody.
Yeah, they may not have the best army in the world, but they sure have the best rocket and nuclear force.
They could launch a missile and take out London in 15 minutes.
Yep.
And there's not a thing we can do about it with a hypersonic. Nothing will stop it.
You know, given all the Satanism in the city of London, which is the financial district of London, if they did a surgical strike just on the city of London, that would relieve a good much of the satanic pressure in the world.
It would. Quickly. As people like me age, and your experience as a naturopath doctor, what are some of the things that, we've got a couple of minutes here, what are some of the things we should be considering to help ourselves stay healthier than the American diet allows us to be?
Well, first things first, go find my lecture on YouTube titled, Fighting the Things Most Likely to Kill Us. Fighting the Things Most Likely to Kill Us. We develop chronic inflammation in all of our internal organs as we age. Think about it. When your bicep gets tired of working, what does it do? It stops and takes a rest. Can your lungs do that? Can your heart do that? Can your kidneys do that? And no. So all the organs, regardless of how healthy you are, and sometimes over-exercising just makes it worse, honestly. The inflammation builds to the point where the rule in medicine is that irritation produces inflammation. Inflammation produces induration, which is hardening, which is fibrosis and scar tissue, and the induration causes death. So if we can stop it at the inflammatory stage and then eat away or prevent the scar tissue formation, we can extend the lifespan a good deal.
I know for me, and I'm confessing to my audience, one of the bad things about this radio program over 4 years, I've gained a lot of weight because I'm not doing the kind of work that I used to. And so I need to figure out the best diet, because there are too many fad diets out there, too much weirdness. You know,
every diet turns into a religion.
Yeah, it is. And it's a cult, and I want nothing to do with it.
Right.
I'm realizing maybe our grandparents had it right in the diets that they had.
Do you remember what Dr. DeBakey, the famous heart surgeon who died in his 90s said he had for breakfast?
No, not offhand.
He had two breakfasts that he ate every single day. He had bacon and eggs, and he had ham and eggs. So he was eating all the cholesterol stuff that for the last 60 years we've been told not to eat, and instead take all the grain oils and whatever else.
Oh, yeah, you know, the seed oils?
Yes, all the seed oils, all the polyunsaturated fats. Your brain is 70% fat. Everything you think with is a fat. Neurotransmitters are fats bonded onto amino acids and B-complex vitamins. Memories are fats bonded onto proteins, amino acids, and B-complex vitamins. Putting polyunsaturated fat into the body is like throwing Dawn into a pan full of bacon grease. It'll dissolve it. And that's exactly what's happened. Before the advent of the anti-cholesterol diet, the rate of Alzheimer's was 4 patients per every 1 million population. And doctors are taught in pathology that they'd likely never see a case of Alzheimer's in 20 years of practice.
Unless they were working at an aluminum plant.
And since then, from about 1968, 67 to 70, especially to 75, the numbers of dementia and Alzheimer's patients started increasing, to the point where now Alzheimer's is 1 out of every 3 people instead of 4 out of every million people.
Hey, before we run out of time,
polyunsaturated fats have dissolved people's brains.
Before we run out of time, real quick, for people to find the work that you have done, and you have some great supplements. By the way, I'm not getting paid to say this, folks. I'm just saying, you know, this is something that I recommend, and I'm a customer, so just there's no paid announcement here. But how can people find your stuff?
They can go to drwongsessentials.com. drwongsessentials.com. Plurals on both the Wongs and Essentials. They can also go to drwongsmessage.com to see some of my writings. And they can find the Dr. William Wong pages on YouTube, on BitChute, and on Podbean.
Okay. And anywhere, once again, give those addresses.
Sure. DrWongsEssentials.com, DrWongsMessage.com, and on YouTube, it's Dr. Wong's Essentials as well. I think it's Dr. Wongisms on Podbean. And I think it's Dr. Wong's Essentials on BitChute.
Well, Dr. Wong, it's been a pleasure, as always, to have you on Truth to Ponder. And I got to have you on more often. It's a fun conversation and very enlightening. Now, if you believe in what we're trying to do here at Truth to Ponder, would you visit our website, truth2ponder.com? That's truth, the numeral, or number2ponder.com. By the way, you can support us there using Give, Send, Go. Or you can support us by making a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. That's Post Office Box 510. Chilhowie, 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 Virginia. And the zip code is 24319. Once again, make the check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, P.O. Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia. Zip code in Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319. That zip code again, 24319. And we'll see you again next week.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth, the number 2, and the word ponder.com. That's truth, the number 2, ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.
This is Ancient Word Radio.